Are dents and scratches putting a dent in your day? Introducing Roger Steen Crash Repairs Adelaide, your trusted solution for automotive woes. With over two decades of expertise, Roger Steen Crash Repairs guarantees top-notch service, restoring your vehicle to its former glory in no time. From minor dings to major collisions, our skilled technicians handle it all with precision and care, using state-of-the-art equipment and techniques.
Roger Steen Crash Repairs saved my car. It looks brand new.
Fast, friendly and reliable. I wouldn't trust anyone else with my vehicle. Don't let accidents slow you down. Visit Roger Steen Crash Repairs Adelaide at 14 Penner Avenue, Glynde, for quality service you can count on. And here's a special offer just for our listeners. Mention this podcast and receive a $100 discount on your repair. Roger Steen Crash Repairs Adelaide. Excellence in every repair.
Past players. Past legends. Past legends.
I was going to ask, coaches, you would have seen a few coaches at Norwood over your time through your 17s, 19s, reserves and obviously league. Just Yep. Talk about some of your coaches.
Well, we had my first coach with Norwood was Ian Stafford. He was he came from Port Adelaide, and he was a tremendous coach. He was ex-school teacher, probably be retired now. He put all the disciplines in place where he focused very heavily on the skill level. On working with our hands and our feet. We touched the ball hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times during our training sessions at under 17s. And I think that was a key to the development of some of the players that came through the system with, you know, that skill level. I think, you know, that form of training helped us immensely with our skill level, and I think that was one advantage for me anyway, because, you know, I was okay with the skills. You know, I was good with my hands, I was good with my kick, and that all came from the tutelage that I got in under 17s. So I think it was just embedded in me from a young age.
Winnie helped in that regard as well, didn't he?
Oh, Winnie was great. Winnie was more there as a leveller. He was I was a bit of a rat bag, and, you know, I think most kids are when they're 16, 17, and I think he was just a bit of a leveller. He was just laying down the law, saying these are the things we want you to do, and da da da. Coming from big number 28, you didn't want to argue with him too much. You took his advice. And you did it, you know. You got the old walk around the oval every now and again.
Yes. Yep.
You didn't look forward to those too much, but he wasn't too harsh about it. He'd just make sure you explain where you went wrong, what you need to do, you know, where you need to focus. And I think that sort of individual tutelage was very helpful from the 2-8 for sure. So then we had staff there. Then I went to 19s. I had Frankie Leonard. Yep. Which we played in the 83 grand final. Yeah. We had absolutely tremendous team, absolute ripper team. I mean, we had height, we had strength, we had pace, we had everything. It was just a really, really good side that we managed to win that final pretty easily, I think, in the end. And then I had Barmy for quite some time, which was, I think, for about 8 years. I reckon I had him from 84 to 90, I reckon.
Yep.
That would have been about
right.
Yep,
certainly was, yep. Yep.
And so, then, you know, then you had Johnny McGuinness come in, and you had a few, you know, Craigie. Bruce Winter and whatever. Yeah, and then obviously Neil Craig took over in 91.
Yep, yep.
I think took over in 91, which was a hell of a surprise to all of us, because we all played against the guy, and to see him walk through the door on that sort of November or December of 1990 was a hell of a surprise to all of us, I think. And yeah, do you want me to say much more on that, Malcolm?
Go for it.
Yeah, up to you, Punny, on that one. Look, let's just say you didn't have the best parting with Norwood Footy Club, and communication could and should have been a lot better.
Yeah, I think you find I'm probably not the only one in that boat, right? There was quite a few in that boat, and I think I would have, you know, someone said something to me the other day, and it was really quite poignant, that, you know, you think at that stage of the career where I only had six games to make 200, or, you know, maybe eight games to make 200, yeah, if you know what I'm saying. Like, it yeah. was in that year
yeah.
that I would have got all the support and help just to get me over the line.
Yeah, and no, it was a bit.
That's that, you know. So, you know, let's get this guy. Let's pump him up. Let's make him feel good. Let's get his 200 games. Let him make. You know, he's played for a long time. So there was none of that, right? So you don't want to get me going on it, because I had a discussion with a couple of fellas the other week about it, and I get a bit wound up about it, because it tends to upset me, because I think some things happened around the footy club then that they now think that they should have been done a little bit differently.
Oh, look, and I will say to Craigie's credit, because we actually had him on a few weeks ago, Paney, he does admit that he would have done several things differently, and that. So I will give Neil well and truly his dues, that he recognises that he made mistakes as well.
That's exactly right. That's all so, I'm saying. I'm just saying. That's yep. exactly what I said.
Yep.
So whatever they may be, I'm not going to go into, but there could have things that he and the footy club could have done a little bit better. Yeah.
All right, we'll leave that one where it is, but we need to talk about 1991. Leading goal kicker, you did mention before that you don't mind a sausage roll.
You know.
Winning a leading goal kicker at any club, let alone a SANFL club, is a fantastic achievement.
Yeah, look, I was, you actually don't realise, you don't actually think about these things during the year, or how many goals you kicked or whatever. You just go and you play your game, and they add up at the end, and then you're lucky enough to win it. But
still,
I know
you started to have a shot from the kick out, Paney, wouldn't you? I knew you were around the mark then, mate.
But I know Ducks was spewing because,
yes,
because I nailed him. And he was, it was only about two or three weeks to go, and he was sitting, oh, I got you, Paney, I got you, I'm going to get you. Well, you didn't, Ducks, did you? So there you go, no, I'm only kidding. it's not about that. It's just that, yeah, I managed to have a reasonable year. I think we got the Meritorious Award that year, which finishes in the top five or six whatever in the award. So, yeah, so had a reasonably consistent year. As I said, Ducks are still spewing on me. So that's, you know, it was nice to win that award, yeah, for sure.
And, of course, then you went out to Paraka, Paney, and you had the ultimate success of coaching Paraka as well. And that probably was is that your favourite club in terms of coaching and that along that, the journey?
Great, you know, fantastic footy club. You know, well-run, you know, good people, you know, down-to-earth people. Loved my time there and, you know, they were just fantastic people. I mean, Froggy was coaching, Roger Murdoch was coaching.
Yeah.
At the time that I was there, and he knew I'd retired, and he just gave me a call and said, come out. Yep. And so I went out there and we played the grand final that year and we lost. And then Froggy coached the following year and we beat Athelstan in a grand final there, which was a pretty tough game. And then I played one more year. After that, I played, I can't remember exactly where it was, but, I played one more year, I think, and then put in for the coaching job there and missed it. And I was bloody livid. I was spewing that I missed the coaching job. So I sat out for a year, and then the bloke who coached didn't coach the following year. So I reapplied again and I got the job.
Right.
So I coached 96, 97, 98 at Cracker.
Yep, yep.
Which was, 96 was sort of using the feelers a bit, you know, trying to find your feet and get, you know, in what way am I going to coach? What aspects am I going to concentrate on? Like, it was a bit nerve-wracking to see. But once you got into the gist of it and you got your system worked out, it was good. And we finished sixth or seventh, I think, that first year. And then the following year, we, we went premiers. So,
and of course, President Roger Steen of Steen Crash Repairs, yes. sponsor of the show. Thank you, Craig. So there you are. Don't worry, that was always going to get a mention. Yep.
Yeah, no, ripper people, those yes. Steens, I tell yeah. you. They're yep. ripper blokes.
Bloody oath.
But, you know, he was president and he was over the moon that we managed to win that. So then we went to Div 1 the following year and played in Div 1. I think we won two or three games. A pretty. You know, we tried to recruit as much as we could, but we just, you know. You know, it's really funny. These amateur clubs, it's you got to try and get the guys to training. Yeah. And if you can get them to training, you're half a chance.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, people look at – they want success, but it's because, you know, a lot of these blokes don't train. I understand they work and got commitments, family, whatever. But you know that's a key. You need to train as a team and bond as a unit. And that's why I reflect on units, and I always have prior to with my prior experiences. The unit gets you through. It's not you. It's not any individuals. It's the unit that gets you through. And if that unit can bond and have some feelings for each other and get on well together, you're home and hose. You're yes. halfway there.
Yeah.
I think it's a pretty good philosophy that all these interviews that we've done over the last 12 months with a lot of players, they've all sort of said that the individual stuff's great, but the team is where it's ultimately at.
I mean, we can take that situation, what I just explained to you, as in a footy sense, but it's not just a footy sense. It's a work. You can adapt all those policies to your work.
Yeah.
If absolutely. You have a great yeah. unit and there's great people working, you all work together and you'll communicate. You have a great working atmosphere yeah. and you have a productive
yeah. yes.
work atmosphere. So it's the same in anything. Any team sport, if you can be productive together and be, you know, as one, if that means anything, you will succeed in whatever you do, or you'll do it very well anyway, you know. So that's it's just that harmonious atmosphere, and that's what I got out of that 97 team. That the 97 team was, you know, yeah, it was SAFA, and it was the second best yeah. competition in the league at the moment. But yeah. it, you know, they were just good blokes, so they could play, and they loved each other, and yeah. they were just good blokes. So. You know, and I still catch up with some of those blokes, and I see them around the place, and they're rippers, yeah.
Now, Payne, in the era you played, let's be honest, it was an era very much of drinking and socialising. You know, whether you won, whether you lost, we all caught up together. You know, you think of Sam's, etc., along those lines, that it and everything. You know, then there was the Bay Disco. It really was an era of drinking. And you and I admit, you know, more than had our problems. And yep. the key for me is really to stop bullshitting yourself. And you probably went through a fair bit there where, you know, life wasn't great with your own choices. And, you know, you went to a recovery thing and obviously problems, your marriage split up, back together again and all that side of things. But, yep. Payne, for me, the key bit is just to finally be honest, and that's where I think a lot of – and it's not only blokes, so don't dare get me wrong there, but it's until I finally was honest to myself was my key thing where
– Yeah, you're totally right.
Yeah.
You've hit the nail right on the head. I think being honest, having good support as well, because, you know, when you're going through that, to have no support, it probably is a little bit more difficult.
Yeah.
But having support from loved ones, you know, wives, you know, my wife Lisa was a great yeah. support through it all. Family, you know, brothers, sisters, you know, yeah, helping
I've got
you
to
out.
Same
you
thing. Know, I've got to say, Cam, are my kids as well.
You know, your family, your yeah. kids for putting up with you and then, yeah. then welcoming you back. I mean, there's a huge thing. But honesty is an amazing thing because – that helps it helps free you, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it makes any sense to anybody else, but yeah. if you're lying about your drinking or your gambling or whatever it is, you haven't got a good inner feeling. It doesn't matter. You can lie about anything. You could bullshit to your best mate.
Yeah.
And he could believe you, and you know, and you're lying. It's not good. It doesn't make you feel good. So, I mean, the lying's out of it for me. It's no bullshitting for me anymore. Yeah. I just speak the truth.
Yeah.
And then, if you don't like it, that's fine. But, you know, that's the way I feel. And, you know, I'm not gonna lie to anybody. Just tell them the truth.
Yeah, and I think
you stick with it.
I totally get that. Yeah, some conversations you and I have had over the journey and all that, and it was just both of us just being blatantly honest to each other. And we both knew if the other person was bullshitting, you just see through it. You just pick things and all that, and we both of us knew with various other things and all that, and you just learn.
And what actually happens, like, you know, your trust, the integrity that you gain by doing all the things that are right, far outweigh the other side of it, you know, the lying and the cheating and, you know, whatever it is that whatever you do that's, you know, you're lying about. I just think that, you know, you just could just be truthful. I mean,
any comments about Corabram painting?
Well, unfortunately, it's not there anymore. But you know, it was a tremendous for me, because, you know, I spent 7 months there.
Yeah.
You know, there was 20, 30 blokes there at one time, you know, coming and going, and a few of them have passed. They didn't succeed in their travels.
Yep.
Unfortunately, some fell by the wayside.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, I know of two or three that have passed. I know that a couple are flying and going really, really well. And the time down there was absolutely life changing in a way.
Yeah.
And something you need, you know, I needed to do. Yeah, you know, it was probably a bit scary, you know, lonely, you know. Yeah. I was worried about, you know, it was a terrible time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't safe and secure by any means. But what happened was you turned yourself around. You made yourself into what I am today, and that's a lot better person than what I was back then. So, so be it. If it costs you 7 months out of your life to be, you know, pretty reasonable bloke, I think that's okay, isn't it?
Yep. Bloody oath, mate.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, if you're just not a nice person, well, and you don't do anything about it, well, you're just going to hurt people. So yeah, no, David, I'm happy. It was good fun. I should say, but that in regards to the learning experience and finding out what I needed to do to get myself right. Yeah.
And some people from Nord who helped you along the journey, you know, Fanner obviously, but Neegs, and Max Fitzner, and of course the wonderful man Andrew Ash, you know.
He's an incredible person,
Andrew Ash.
Look, I don't know a better person, frankly, you know, than Andrew.
Yeah.
Look, blokes like Max Fitzner and Rick Neagle and there's quite a few, you know, there's quite a few people that were on the board there that helped us out. It was amazing that they actually they cared in one way or another. So, yeah, no, I was absolutely gobsmacked. And I had regular communication with quite a few of them, and I have a little bit of regular communication with a few of them still now.
Yeah.
Not as often as what I used to,
because
I'm up and flying, so... Yeah.
Go, you know, in terms of then just getting your life back together, Pony, you were, you know, then back with the gardening game a little bit for a while and all that, and then eventually working, you know, ironically probably, but it was a courageous decision by Nord and a courageous decision by yourself to run the gaming centre and all that at Northeast for a fair while. And so you were around temptations.
Well, I didn't run it.
You know what I mean. You know what I mean.
Yeah. I took that on board because it was, you know, it's no good ignoring it. You know, hit it straight on.
Yeah.
Confront your issues straight away, you know. And it wasn't a problem for me working there at the Northeast. You know, it wasn't a problem at all. I did about 4.5 years there nearly, 3.5, 4 years, and absolutely loved it. Enjoyed the the relationship with all the customers and the people there and the staff. It was fantastic. Unfortunately, that ended with some unforeseen circumstances, but that's okay. I've taken on a new role and now work down the produce market, so with fresh fruit and veg. So,
yep,
so that's fine, and I've been there for the last 3.5 years, so fantastic. Enjoy it.
Stole my thunder a little bit there. I was going to ask, what are you up to these days? But sounds like you're loving it.
Oh, look, Malcolm knows Pat Ruggiero, my boss.
Yep.
And Pat's been a mad Red Leg supporter for as long as you can, you know. And Pat rang me one day and said, look, I've got a job down here. You want to come? Yeah, and I said, yeah. And then we get on like a house on fire, and he's just Red Leg's mad.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that job suits me. It's an early start in the morning and an early finish in the day, but, you know, I get me a few hours sleep and I'm up after that, so it's all good.
I'll tell you one thing, Paney, you were fantastic with particularly the elderly and that at the Northeast. You had a lot of them eating out of the palm of your hand. You were very good out there in that way, Barry.
Oh, it was good fun. Look, I must admit, I do miss some of those parts, you know, hosting the birthdays or hosting the Melbourne Cup and doing things like that, having a bit of fun, you know, a bit of stirring up and whatever. And, yeah, I do enjoy that side of it. I do enjoy doing that. Actually, I did – me and Lester did the – or Lester and I did the Melbourne Cup at the Nord Footy Club a week ago?
Yep,
last Tuesday or something. And that was a bit of fun. We had a bit of fun with a few guests and, yeah, it was good fun. So, yeah, I enjoy that. Bit of fun and mucking around. Yeah, it's good.
All right, mate. What we like to do to get you out of here on a few last questions, favourite players you played with?
Oh, look, favourite player in what regard?
Well.
So you say favourite player, but then there's just different ones, you know. There's the tough ones.
Go whatever angle you want, Paney.
You know, there's the skillful one. And The two that come to mind are obviously Gary and Michael.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. They're probably the two. For their just complete brilliance on what they do. And look, I was fortunate enough to play with Gary. He was my captain in 1981.
Yep.
So I'd played with him in 1981, and he was just a machine. And was a machine for most of his life playing league football. So, and then I got the introduction to Ace, who'd won a McGarry medal 2 years prior to my first game.
Yep.
So, you know, and then you got Neville Roberts and, he would hardly miss a goal, wouldn't he? For set shots, you know. Then you got your blokes like your Tommy Warhurst, who was tough as nails, and, you know, your skillful Duncan Fosdykes, and I mean, they just go on. But, you know, obviously Michael, you know, Keith Thomas, I mean, his dedication and just the person Keith is.
Probably ahead of his time a bit in that way, KT.
Keith is just a great human being.
Yeah.
He's just one of the nicest blokes you'll ever meet. He'll speak honestly.
Yep.
He'll tell you the truth. He won't beat around the bush. He just tells you how it is. And the way he analyses things and the way he goes about things is just fantastic.
That's a good word
for KT. You could just sit and listen to him talk about whatever he's talking about, because he studied it. He knows about it, and he's talking about it. We catch up, you know, 2 or 3, 4 times a year, Keith and I, and Pat, and we have a bit of a lunch and a barbie or whatever.
Yep.
And I just love his company. I just think he's a tremendous fella. So, yeah, there's a whole range of players that that are all different in their own characteristics, and you just love the way some of them played. So, you know.
Hardest opponent, Paney?
Oh, that's a hard one. Because
maybe give us a couple.
I'd say because I got brutalised when I was only, you know, 53 kilos and I was jockey weight, you know, Scott Salisbury was, you know, he was brutal to me in my early days.
Yeah.
And I think he had something to do with that preliminary final in
84. I was thinking that, David. Yes.
Okay. But not only that, I think there was another few times anyway.
Yeah.
That's in toughness wise. Like, you know, that's toughness. There was a There was a guy that played for Centrals who was a really tough. Name forgives me for a minute. That's what happens when you get a little bit older. Was it Pittman?
Mark Pittman, he was a fair little stocky. Yeah,
now,
stocky.
You know,
yep.
Yeah, he was tough. And there was a little guy. He played for Sturt. Now he's going to rate. He wrote John Richter. Now, although he was probably not the slimmest, just tough to stand. Just wouldn't let you an inch. Like, not so much physical, but everywhere you went, he was there. So, yeah, I found him pretty hard to stand. And, that's about it.
Look, Bainey, greatly appreciated. We are due to catch up as well on that side of things. Always enjoy your company. Always enjoy our honesty towards each other and that side of things, and support each other along the journey. Greatly appreciated, David, and look forward to catching up soon, mate.
Lovely. Look, thanks a lot, guys. Look, appreciate your call, and, fantastic. Talk soon.
Thanks for joining us, mate.
Thanks, guys. Bye. Cheers.